You're listening to Rivercast, brought to you by River of Life Church in Guilderland, New York. Now here's Pastor Sean.
If you would, before you turn your Bibles, let me ask you this question. So I had this thought. I have a lot of those. Some of them are good, some of them not so good. But I'm curious, with a crowd here this morning, I wonder who the most famous person is that any one of us in this room have met. How many of you have met somebody famous before? I don't mean like online or Facebook. So who have you met that was famous? I want to know. Give me that, the names out loud. Who? I'll start with my wife.
Gilligan.
You met... That's up there. Gilligan? I had forgotten that. Really? And you chose me over him? I'm so excited. That's great. Somebody else. Who else? Wayne.
Sam Perkins,
basketball player, absolutely. Played for the Lakers. Somebody else?
Jerry Seinfeld.
That's a pretty, you might have everybody else beat. Who else?
Tommy Hilfiger.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was a person. Makes sense. I just should have probably known that, but never stopped to think about that one, you know? Like Ralph Lauren or whoever else, right? So, Kat.
Joe Namath.
Yeah, Joe Namath kissed you.
Yes.
Yeah, but how old were you?
I was a small child.
Okay, yeah, I was going to like, Andy doesn't need to go take him out, so everything's good. All right on the forehead, right? Anybody else? Kelly?
Well, after Greta Garbo, that's kind of like, but we met Mark Wahlberg.
Pretty famous. That's pretty interesting. I've not met anybody famous. I got close once. A few years ago, I was in San Antonio with some friends, some pastors actually, and we were eating barbecue, which is always a good thing when you're in Texas. Unless you're from Missouri, then you've got real questions about Texas having good barbecue or not. But anyway, right? Yeah, there's a couple of you guys from St. Louis here this morning. But anyway, so we were eating one of those barbecue places where they don't give you napkins, they give you whole rolls of paper towels, you know, because you just are basically going to bathe in it, the sauce. And anyway, we were standing there, and all of a sudden, Tony Parker was there. If you know basketball at all, famous point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. And I was so embarrassed. He was on the phone talking, all right? So big celebrity in the sports world. And one of my friends, the pastor, in fact, is Lindrell Randall. Some of you will know Lindrell, started church out of our church down in Albany, and he goes over to introduce himself to the guy while he's on the phone. And I'm just like, dude, that is so embarrassing. And Tony just kind of waved him off. You're like, leave me alone. What do you, like, what part of social etiquette do you not get? You know, it's really interesting comparing that and lots of famous people in the world, but isn't it really interesting that God in heaven does the exact opposite? God doesn't wave us off and say, hey, I'm too busy for you today. I'm sick today. I'm preoccupied today. I got too much going on today. You're just not big enough fish for me to mess with. Instead, it's the opposite. The God who made the universe, who invented the universe and brought it about as the architect, builder, all of that, wants to actively pursues a relationship with us. We're in the series, just as the second week, where we're looking at the life of Jesus through the book of Mark, and it's really, we're going to follow his footsteps and follow him as he talks with people in the streets of Jerusalem and through the hills of Judea, and we're going to see, especially today, that Jesus invited people specifically into a close relationship to be with him, not just to serve him, but to be with him. So turn with your Bibles, if you would, and look with me in Mark chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says this. If you don't have your Bible, you can look at it. It'll be right on the screen, so don't worry about that. He says this, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Let me set the stage. A few verses before that, Jesus is teaching people. He's doing some miracles. In fact, he's cast out a few demons along the way. I mean, just crazy stuff. And there's just so many people that are thronging him. In fact, the verse just before that says, in verse 9, it says that he told his disciples to have a boat ready. He's there by the Sea of Galilee. And he said, have a boat ready because the crowd, lest they crush him. There were so many people that were there with Jesus that they were just literally crushing him. In fact, just after the verses that we're going to read today, the Bible says that so many people were coming around that they couldn't even eat. There were so many people harassing him. And yet in all of that busyness and all of that that was going on, Jesus then comes to a mountain and he calls, by invitation only, if you will, certain of his followers to be with him. He's calling his apostles, but I want you to notice what he goes on and tells us about it. In verse 14, he says this, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed these 12, Simon, whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder. How cool is that to be an apostle of Jesus? Like, you're a son of thunder, right? I can imagine those guys getting tattoos, you know, across their shoulder or their arm or whatever. I'm a son of thunder. Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. By the way, notice John Mark is not an apostle. I think I said that. Who knows sometimes what comes out of my mouth when I'm up here, but John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, is not an apostle. Before we read this, let me pray with me, would you? Father, we ask that you would open this book, open your words that you have spoken. Father, your word is not like ours. Ours doesn't accomplish really anything. Ours is short-lived. Once we speak it, it's done. But Lord, your word is powerful. It's mighty. Your word is what was spoken in this universe and brought it about. By your word, everything was made. Your word is eternal. It continues to reverberate. And Lord, as we read it this morning, as we look at it, God, we ask that it would reverberate in our heart, that it would take those truths, you would take those truths and press them into our soul. Lord, we confess this morning that you're the one that we need. You're the one that we come to listen to follow. You're the one that we come to worship. And Lord, we come to honor you today. So, Father, I pray that you would use these words, that we open up and as we explain and point them and apply them to our lives, Father, would you bless that? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice that when Jesus called his apostles, he didn't just call them and maybe commission them, kind of give them a little graduation service and send them on their way. But notice what the Bible says. It says that he appointed them, and he appointed them so that they might be with him. Jesus pulled those out of those crowds. He said, I want you guys to come be with me. We're going to talk about what it means to be with Jesus this morning. I mean, think about those apostles. Jesus called them. I mean, he walks by the sea and he calls Peter and James and John and Andrew, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they leave those nets and the fishing boats and leave their family business and they follow Jesus. Mark chapter 2, last week, he walks by Matthew's table there as a tax collector, his source of income, his job, all of that. And he said, hey, come follow me. Matthew gets up, leaves that, and he follows Jesus. Jesus wants us first and foremost to be with him. Those apostles, those men had no idea what they were getting into. They were in over their heads. They just didn't know it. I mean, they were the ones that saw everything that Jesus did. They heard all of his incredible teaching. They saw when he had mercy upon people. They were there when he went to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who was ostracized, who was with all of the prejudice and all of the cultures of that day. She was absolutely alone and not treated well, and Jesus went to her. And he reached out to her so that she might know him and might have a relationship with him. They saw that. They were there when Jesus walked on water. They were there with the miracle catch. They were there when Jesus was asleep in the boat and they were scared to death and saw the power that he had over all of the weather and over all the storms. They were there and saw when the demons would speak from individuals and Jesus had such command and control over them that told them to stand down and to be quiet and told them that they had to leave. They listened to the incredible teachings of Jesus and how God sent his only son Jesus to love them, and that God wants to not only put his love into our hearts, but in turn for that love to multiply. So they heard, they saw, they felt. They were with Jesus day in and day out. What God wants in your life and in my life is not for us to be successful in this world. I'm not saying I want you to fail. But what God wants most is not for you to pay off your mortgage. It's not to make all the money in the world. It's not to be accomplished at this and to that. No, I mean, yes, God wants to bless us in this world. It's good to pay off your mortgage, amen. But what God really wants is for us to know him. He wants us to be in relationship with him, and as we know him, he changes our lives. Well, how does that happen today? Anybody here, this is always a little dangerous, but anybody here see Jesus face to face? I haven't. None of us. Those apostles were there. They know what he looked like. They knew the sound of his voice. If he called them on the phone, they would have recognized his voice. They would have been in his speed dial, if you will. He would have been on theirs on the phone, right? They knew all about him. You and I don't have that luxury. So how do we spend time with Jesus? How is it the same way? How is in the world is that possible? Well, let me give you two answers to that. One is theological and one is practical. The theological side of it is Jesus pulled those immediate apostles to him to be with him, because when he was on this earth, he was in that body, he was God and man together. Jesus didn't have the ability to relate to everybody on the planet. He couldn't. In fact, for one of the early ons, he's there doing miracles and teaching people. If you remember the story, he heals Peter's mother-in-law and he does some incredible things. And he leaves in the middle of the night and the whole town is coming there, and he's like, yeah, I gotta go somewhere else. Because for that reason I was sent. I've got to tell them about the gospel, about the good news. Jesus in that way was limited in his human form as the God and man. He couldn't know everybody. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 14. Look with me there quickly. Jesus, when he leaves, or before he leaves, he was preparing those apostles, his friends, to explain them how this was going to work. He knew that they were going to be beside themselves. He knew that their hope of their own salvation and for the world and for the Messiah was pinned on him, that they would be absolutely crushed when Good Friday rolled around. And he knew that he was going to rise from the dead and that they would get that and they would be excited, but he also knew that he was going to lead them and ultimately ascend into heaven and be there forever. And they would still be like, what are you doing, Jesus? You know, I mean, they couldn't just go on Facebook and follow him, see what he's doing on heaven. No selfie Jesus, you know, hanging out in heaven and hanging with Abraham or Moses. You know, I mean, none of that stuff going on, right? So he knew they were going to feel alone, that they were going to be, you know, what do we do now? It's just us and against the world. So Jesus told them what was going to happen, and what he was going to do was to send the Holy Spirit to be his replacement, and in some ways a better replacement. Look what John 14, it says. Look what he says. I am in John 14. He says, go on, he says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. See, Jesus was the first helper. The Holy Spirit was the second helper. I'm going to give you another one. To be with you what? What's that say? Say it with me. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There is a mystery in here. But God is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three parts, but three individual persons. Jesus says, guys, I'm about to leave, but this is going to be so cool because I, in this body, as the God-man, am limited in space and in time in this way, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. When I leave, I'm going to send another comforter. And he is going to come, and he is actually going to be inside of every person who is my follower. He's not going to just be with you. He is going to be in you, and he's going to be God himself inside of you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. As God sent the Holy Spirit, and you guys know the rest of the story, Jesus was crucified, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and after that, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and from that point forward, the Holy Spirit lives inside of every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ. The God of heaven is actually with us. And what God wants and what God is doing in the world around us is inviting us not just to salvation, not just forgiveness of sins. He's not just inviting us to some grand party that's in heaven and sending out an invitation, if you will. He's inviting us and entering into a personal relationship with him. And it is real in our life through the Holy Spirit. Not an abstract thing that we believe, not a distant thing that's out there somewhere, Easter Bunny, well, I hope he exists and, leaves me some nice things, or the Tooth Fairy on my pillow or whatever. But the God of heaven reveals himself to us and introduces himself and draws us into a relationship with him personally. That's what Jesus was doing in bodily form with those apostles. He said, guys, I want you to come be with me. And as they listened and heard and followed Jesus along the way, they surrendered their life to him. It was no more just kicking the tires and who is this guy all about. It was no more just, wow, what's going on? But they yielded themselves and they surrendered to him everything. That's what Mark chapter 1 talked about when Jesus first started to come and preach and to share. The Bible says there in verse 13 that verse 15, the time was fulfilled, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. You see, there comes a time when even today in our life, when we're beginning to know more about Jesus and we're beginning to learn about him and we're catching glimpses of things and our heart even begins to get touched and we begin to get moved by things and we begin feeling like God is beginning to talk to us and begins to open his word. That's wonderful and that's good and it's important, but that's really not the beginning of the relationship with Jesus. The beginning of that relationship is when we fall on our knees, either physically or at least mentally in our heart, and say, Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life. I turn away. I repent of all of that garbage that I've done that has separated me from you, that's caused a wall to be between us, caused me to not know you, God. And God, I want you to forgive me because of what Jesus did, that he died on the cross. I put my faith and my trust and my hope in him. You know, it's so amazing when Jesus was going to those apostles, he didn't go to them and say, hey guys, I'm going to invite you to church. I want you to hang out at church more. Hey guys, I want you to be more religious. I want you to follow some more rules. You've done a bunch of good things, but I got more stuff for you to do. You know what Jesus did? He said, guys, I want you to be with me. Simply, profoundly focused to be with me. So many times as we, in our lives today, we substitute religion for Jesus. We substitute all the stuff that we do instead of Jesus. Now, it's good to go to church. I'm glad you're here today, by the way. You know, that's good. But it's not a substitute for being with Jesus. Not at all. In fact, it's amazing. It's so easy to get mixed up. People, we talk about our faith. You know, Jesus, it's not enough to just believe in God. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. He said, guys, I want you to be with me. You see, faith is more than just believing in Jesus at a distance, believing in what he's done even. Faith is a relationship with him. It is a personal where we surrender our life to him, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we know him personally. Think about it this way. It would be strange if somebody were asking for me to describe the relationship I have with my wife. And if all that I ever talked about was, well, I believe in her, you know, she's a nice person, all of these things. And Sean, is that really the nature of your relationship? Like, is that what you do? You just, you believe in all that? Well, yeah, what do you mean? And that would be weird. I mean, if I start talking about a relationship where I should say, oh, it's awesome. We like to have fun together. We like to go do this. We like to hang out. We watch movies, right? That's what relationships are all about. It's easy to believe in somebody from afar. And those apostles believed in God. They were religious men. But Jesus said, it's not enough. Come on up here. I want you to hang out. I want you to be with me. It comes through the Holy Spirit in our life. And he comes into our life when we finally hit that point where we surrender and put aside all our religious hope, put aside all of our good works, and we realize that what we have to do is not believe in Jesus, but we have to believe in the gospel, to repent and believe in the gospel, as the Bible says, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and we enter in for the first time into a deep, real, and abiding relationship with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes and makes that real in our life. After that, guys, that's the beginning, right? For those of you that are married this morning, when you said I do, that was the beginning. That wasn't the end. Praise God, right? Relationships are meant to grow. God means that for us in our marriages. And marriages go through tough times and easy times and good times and all of that. And they breathe and we have experienced those things. But guys, overall, God wants our relationships to grow and to be healthier, and to the love and the connection that we have is to have more and more. And that's what Jesus wants in our life. He wants us, even after we know him, to continue to be with him. Sean, I try that, and sometimes I struggle, and I don't feel it. I don't know what I'm doing. So what does this look like? Well, let me cut through the fog. What does it mean to be with Jesus? Because he's not physically here this morning, right? Holy Spirit is, but he himself is not. Well, there's a few things that we can do to be with Jesus. One is we can read his word, all right? Spend a little time with Jesus every day. For us, guys, today, just like those apostles, I can imagine. I mean, how do you top raising Lazarus from the dead? The next morning, like over coffee, I mean, hitting Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, whatever their thing was, those apostles, can you believe what he did? Like, that guy was dead 3 days yesterday. That's crazy. What's he going to do today? Like, how do you top that? I mean, it just built on it, right? That should be, at some level, our heart, guys. It's tough when you've known Christ for a long time, and some of you have known him for a very long time. Some of you are trying to get to know him this morning. You're trying to figure this out. Some of you are new in it. But what happens is if we're not careful, we lose that freshness and that awness. And we ought to be getting up in the morning and saying, I wonder what Jesus is up to today. I wonder what he is going to be doing today in my life. And the Bible is our gateway into that. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the one. He's the one that reminds us of all the things that Jesus taught. And so God wants to spend some time with him. A little bit of time in his word and a little bit of time of praying keeps us in that relational connection, if you will, with Jesus. Not only that, but having a hard attitude in the middle of that is significant. The Bible tells us, guys, that we're to confess our sins. When you and I don't confess our sins regularly, even after we know Jesus and are forgiven of them, it causes problems. It's like expecting your teeth to be in good shape without ever brushing, right? It's like, you know, it's like the plaque. Sins are like the plaque. They just build up in our mouth and they bad breath, all of the whole nastiness, right? Well, Sean, I thought once we trust Jesus, he forgives us of all of our sins, and all of those are forgiven and done away with. In fact, he's forgiven me before I ever commit them. That's true. But they still mess you up. Because when God saves you and forgives you, he enters into a relationship with you. He adopts you as his child. He doesn't leave you as an orphan. In fact, you become a child of the king. Nothing can change that, even our sins. However, they have a way of stinking up our relationship with God. Just like when you do stuff that's not cool with people you know, it doesn't necessarily change the legalities or the relationship or the commitment, but it does damage the connection and the intimacy. And so if you are, this morning, if you are a Christian who is not regularly kind of watching your sins and asking God to deal with them, the Bible says your heart is lying to you. It's deceitful to you. And it's allowing you to just constantly be doing stuff, and your relationship with Jesus is getting colder and colder and colder. And then finally, you're just like, yeah, I really don't feel a connection with God. Well, that doesn't mean you don't know Jesus, but it does mean you've allowed the plaque to build up so much in your life, your mouth is a mess. So confess that regularly. Ask God to deal with your heart. You don't need to grovel and, if you will, to, you know, overcome that. That's what Jesus did on the cross, but you need to ask God to begin changing that part of your life. So confess those sins. Spend some time with Him. Spend some time worshiping. You know, whether it's personally, for me, honestly, some of my special times with God, honestly, I feel like it comes through music. I am not a musician, as you guys know. I always ask the music team, I'm like, hey, if you're down a person, I'm good. I'm be there this week. I'm good to go. You guys are all glad they never take me up on that, okay? Just know, you be glad. But I do like the music, and I like to worship, and God speaks in my heart and blesses me in those times. But keep your heart attitude humble, thankful, dealing with that. Open your life. It's opening to Him and listening to Him. And every day, God wants us to be with Him. I want you to notice something. Whenever we're with Jesus, though, three things happen. Three things. God wants us to be with Him. He forgives us of our sin. He invites us into that close relationship with Him. And He sends us out into this grand adventure called our life with Him. We don't fly solo. We're not orphans. He's there with us every step of the way. And three things naturally happen as a result of that. One, He changes our life. Absolutely changes our life. Did you catch the story recently about the twins? There's these twins, and one of the guys was an astronaut. And he goes off into space and spent some time out in space. So when he came back, NASA did all of the study, probably spent millions of dollars, have no idea. But they studied his DNA, the astronaut's DNA, and they compared it with his twin brother, okay? And they declared that his DNA had changed when he was in space. Did you see that headline? Some of you did? That caught my attention. I think half of the world's probably thinking, I knew it. I knew superhero powers were possible if I could just get to heaven, right? You know, we could, all kinds of cool stuff. And I think NASA said, whoa, 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 just kind of chill. I'm giving you my take on it. It really wasn't that much of a DNA change. In fact, the real DNA didn't change, but some metabolism stuff in the cells. And at that point, my eyes glazed over. I checked out, and I'm like, okay, I'll let the scientific wonks figure that one out. But anyway, that's what happens with Jesus. You spend time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life, and He does change your DNA. He changes. You begin to change. How many of you share a hobby or a similar interest that your parents had? How many of you this day? I'm hoping this experiment works. It's always risky. Get your hands up there high. Don't be embarrassed. All right. There's something happens, right? When you hang out with somebody in like a family, you begin to pick up some of those interests, right? Well, when you're hanging out with Jesus and He's living inside of you, you begin to like and want the same things, and His character is getting formed in you. It changes your life. These apostles were never the same. We see them as we'll walk through the book of Mark, and you can see them in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, but I mean, they had attitude, they were prideful, they were arrogant, they were selfish, they were fearful, they were clueless. But you know what happens after some time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming in their life? You know what happens when the book of Acts chapter 4? This is crazy. I think I got this on the screen. Look at what the Bible says about them. The Bible says this in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John are arrested because they're telling people about Jesus, and the religious people didn't like it, so they arrest them. What do? You arrest them and throw them into jail. And look at what verse 13 says. And they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, being with Jesus changes you. It changes everything in your life. Changes you. That's the first thing. Second thing that happens when you're with Jesus, we'll go back to Mark, and I'm going to share these quickly. It gives you a mission. Jesus brought them in to be in relationship with Him, and what He's doing now is He wants the same relationship with everyone. This is not an apostle thing. This is a disciple thing. He wants us to be in close relationship with Him, and then He sends us out, and for them, it was sending them out to preach. The Bible is filled with God inviting people into a relationship with Him. And every time that happens, you see, I mentioned this last week, I believe, or maybe the week before, but God invites people into a relationship and then He sends them out. He did it with Moses at the burning bush. He did it with Paul the apostle. We even see it with Joshua. Before Joshua goes and fights his first battle, the angel of the Lord comes and Joshua is there on his knees and bowing before God Himself, and God sends him out on a mission. We see it all the time. God invites you into a relationship with Him, not just to bless you and to save you and to change your life, to make you spiritually healthy, to forgive you of all that junk and restore you, give you purpose and remove the shame and the guilt and all of that of your past. But He also says, now I want to send you out and to be one of my agents, one of my special agents in this world, to bring that same hope and that same message with others around. For these apostles, they were to go out and to preach. For you and for me, it'll look different for everybody in this room. But God sends us back out into the world around us. You see, that's why as a church, one of our key values is we want to be a sending church. You know what the purpose of airports is? Anybody ever been stuck in an airport overnight? I hate it. My bailout is Newark. If I'm flying back in late, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten in late. I can barely get to there, and then I rent a car, and I drive all night, and I pull into Albany Airport, you know, like at sunrise, whatever, and just, it's awful. I hate being stuck at airports. I hate traveling. What's the purpose of airports? To get you from where you are to where you want to be, right? It's to send, they send people. They don't win points by keeping people. It's the opposite, right? That's who we're supposed to be. God is a sending God. He wants to send us. I've got a friend who describes churches who tend to always want to just either grow up and get big or just everything is about, you know, pulling them themselves. He calls them sucking sound churches, that they just suck, you know, out of the community around. And God tells us, no, I want to send you. I want to send you every week when you go out into your wherever you're going to the doctor, whether you're going to the store or whatever, to be my agents. And when the Holy Spirit is with you and you are following and listening to Him and you're with Jesus, God will use you to bless other people's lives in a way that draw them into that relationship with Christ. Whether it's you sharing and serving, whether it's you inviting them to church, as many of you guys do, but God wants us to be that sending agent. And He has that special direction and plan in your world. And for some of you, my prayer is that God will send you to other places and other churches that you would head out. Whether it's as a team, one of the dreams I have of the college students, I would love one day to see half a dozen college students to say, you know what, God wants to send us out to start a new church, and we're all going to move into a neighborhood, and we're all going to work in similar areas and allow God to use us in our lives to reach people with the gospel. That same heart that you guys had to reach your campus, now to move that when you graduate to reach a community, reach a neighborhood, to reach a people, God wants to send us. And the third thing that happens, not only does He send us, not only does He send you, but He gives us authority. Notice that He says, I'm sending you out to preach, in verse 15, and have authority to cast out demons. Guys, we don't need to go around looking for demons. The demons are real. What Jesus came to do was he came pushing back the darkness. We don't have time to read the verses. I hope in your life group that you'll read them, the next section, a couple of sections, paragraphs. Jesus tells a story. And the parable, the point of the parable is that He is the strong man, or He is binding the strong man, who is Satan. Jesus came pushing back that darkness, beginning to restrict all the movement and all of the actions and all the awful things that the enemy done. That's what all the healing's about. That's what really the deliverance ministries that Jesus is doing. Even the teaching to move away, get rid of the lies and the untruths that the enemy has seeded, to remove the blindness of people, not just physically but spiritually in their eyes. When you and I go into this world, and we're walking with Jesus, and we're filled with the Spirit, and one of the best ways to see that is when we love people and we're reaching out to them. That's the best evidence to see the filling of the Spirit. We're going to bump into the powers of darkness, either indirectly and occasionally, maybe directly. We're going to bump into those things. That's why when you're trying to reach people who seem far from God and that there's no hope, you better be praying. You better be asking the God of heaven to push that back. to work through that. And I want us to recognize that Jesus conferred the authority to engage because we're with him. It's not out of who we are. It's because we've been with Jesus. It's because Jesus has that authority. And he says, guys, there's going to be obstacles along the way for your church to reach people, for you as a family to be a light in your neighborhood, for you to be a light where you work in the middle of the darkness. Oh, there's real battles there, guys. It's not the battle over the coffee pot. It's not the battle over the budgets. It's not the battle over the drama in the office or the whatever. It's the battle to keep your coworkers and your friends and people that you know in darkness, blinded to the truth. And so you and I have been given tremendous authority. Jesus doesn't deny that power, but he comes and shows that he has full power. So I want us to, as we live our life, intimacy with Jesus, Jesus changing our life, going out in the world, to know there's going to be pushback. The kingdom of darkness does not want this to succeed. But our Lord has already won the victory, and he has given us that full authority. There's many things that you guys bump into in life that's not just the messed up world. Some of it is a directly spiritual issue that you and I need to be praying about and dealing with. Now, not everything is that, but it's more than what we fully are cognizantly aware of. And Jesus gave us that authority. I'm going to wrap up with this. Remember what Jesus said? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. Jesus claimed the whole thing. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things that I have commanded you. He says, guys, I'm sending you out. And he gave that commission to every one of his followers. I have authority. I'm sending you out to help people to know me, to help people know, once they know me, to follow me and to learn and grow. And the last thing he says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Guys, that's what God wants to do in our life. So as we walk through the Gospel of Mark, where are you right now? Have you been with Jesus lately? I would love to create a hashtag, hashtag been with Jesus. Are you spending time with him every morning? For me, it's an attitudinal thing. It's easy for me just to read the Bible and pray and kind of do it, checklist, and move on. And I more and more realize I have to do, this may sound simple, it may sound corny, I don't know, but I have to get up and just realize, you know what? Jesus, I want to spend time with you today. I want to follow you. What are you up to today? I want to be with you. I know some things that are on my plate, but what are you up to? Jesus, you're enough. I'm not looking to do this, that, and the other thing. I want to be with you. You see, those apostles had to set aside their agenda. They had to lay all of that down. You and I daily have to do that. I got up late this morning, one day this past week, walked downstairs, and with my kids, just kind of a habit over the years, I always want to, either physically touch, kiss, or whatever, ask how they're doing, just kind of connect, right? Small little thing. And I got up late, and I realized that I had breakfast, and there were a couple of my kids who were there somewhere in the house that I hadn't seen. And I said, hey, and it was Chloe, was one of them. I said, hey, where's Chloe? Anybody seen Chloe? I haven't seen her yet. And I hear this little voice, she was studying her homework. Here I am. She's like, well, I saw you, Daddy. You were in the kitchen. And I thought, okay, I must have been in my own little zone and world, and my little daughter was standing there, and I was just totally missed it and ignored it. Anybody ever have that happen to you, right? We do that with Jesus, guys, all the time, all day long. He's in the room, and we're just doing our own thing. Start your day with Jesus, as simply as that. Maybe this morning, as you've been trying to follow Jesus, get to know him and, reading the Bible and all that, but maybe you realize, I have not surrendered to Jesus. Would you today repent of your sins and ask the God of heaven to save you and forgive you, to put your trust in the gospel, not being a good person, not in being a religious person, not being this or that, but simply somebody that needs God to forgive them. In a moment, we're going to participate in our Lord's Supper. And that's a reflection. It's a reminder. what Jesus has done for us, that he's paid for everything. Our salvation doesn't come through this. It comes through Jesus, and this merely reminds us of that. And so wherever you are in your life, take that next step of being with Jesus, receiving him as Lord of your life. Maybe you realize that you've been with Jesus, but you're not doing anything with it. You're not going back out. Ask God to help you with that mission. Ask him to show you, because when you're with him, it's kind of automatic. He puts those people, he puts that desire, he puts that opportunity and that ministry, whether it's hospitality, just serving and loving on people, whether it's sharing the gospel, whatever it is, but regardless, be with Jesus, respond to him, and let what we've talked about this morning affect you. I'm going to pray in a minute. We're going to be our music team is going to come up. I'm going to bring up our ushers, and we're going to celebrate in the supper. So this is kind of your time to kind of be with Jesus, to worship, speak to him in your heart, respond to what God has been speaking to you. Pray with me. Father, thank you for our Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you. The most famous person in the world is you. And you have come and invite us into a relationship personally with you. God, thank you for loving us, giving us your Son. And Father, whatever is in each person's heart this morning, I pray that you would help them to hear your voice through your word. Help them, Father, to know what those next steps are. I pray the Holy Spirit would convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, just as you said he would. God, would you have full sway in our hearts today? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us on Sundays at 10 a.m. or online at riveralbany.com.